This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe.
Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe, finally getting to what you've all been waiting for this whole time. This is the top 10. These are the biggest assholes that I personally have seen as we've been going through all the different episodes that we've done. We had 48 in total, and these are the top 10. So I can understand.
I've been waiting 5 years for this.
I know. This is our magnum opus. So it's all downhill from here. Anyhow, I hope you guys still stick around after this. Just because there's probably a good chance that people are just skipping to the top 10, I think we should go over the scoring system again. So we took every individual that we did an episode on, or corporate entity in some weird instances, or cult entity, I guess, too. I should add that, too.
There's no rhyme or reason to it, really, because some are not
here. I know.
All the major assholes you're looking for, though.
But I also would like to hear, if we have missed anybody in our rankings, please let us know who you think should be here. But we scored everybody on an asshole scale out of 50. This has 5 different categories, each scored out of 10. Deception and fabrication, which measures how much the person knowingly invents, falsifies, or manipulates evidence. Vibes, which is just how asshole the person seems from us reviewing their information.
That was the most elegant way I've heard of you putting asshole.
Good. Harm, we're assessing the degree of damage they cause, psychological, financial, social, or cultural. Grift, focusing on how shamelessly they monetize their claims. And legacy, where we're evaluating how lasting their influence is, whether their nonsense still shapes UFO lore or fringe culture today. And I think almost everybody in my top 10 cracks what is 40 out of 50, the Hall of Shame, the highest level, the Hall of Fame for fringe topic assholes.
Yes. Now, I think we should also clarify at this point in the list that the top 10 is actually Taylor's top 10 list. And we're comparing the other ones to Taylor's. Because I'm just putting together right now who is going to be in the top 10. And I feel like there is one that I'm going to really disagree with at the very least, because I can see one that hasn't been touched yet.
Okay.
That I do not believe fits in the top 10.
And how our scoring works too, there's a few in the top 10 I don't think would naturally fit in the top 10, but you'll understand when we get to them how the scoring had to get there. So to start off the top 10, I have, with a score of 39, so not quite that Hall of Fame level, but still pretty damn high, Billy Meier.
Still top 10?
Still. Season 4, episode 59, 61, and 63.
Yeah, I didn't have him in the top 10, but he probably should be. I have him ranked at 35 with a total score of 35.
Okay.
He's at 17 on mine, I think. Meier is a Swiss contact. Oh, you know what I could go for? Some like Swiss cheese right now. Contactee famous for his photographs of alleged alien spacecraft and prophecies about humanity's future. His achievement is becoming one of the most iconic contactees, with the story still circulating decades later. His asshole actions include staging fake photos, some traced to household objects and models, and aggressively defending them as real, exploiting followers and monetizing his hoaxes through books and strict copyright claims.
The reason he scored so high for me isn't that he excelled in any one area, but because there was no real loss across the board. I got an 89778. So 8 in deception and fabrication, 9 in vibes, 7 in harm, 7 in grift, and 8 in legacy. And he did get more harm than the average UFO person, I think because of the whole cult side of his following with Beam.
I can see it. See, I think our major difference to me is legacy, because overall, I don't know that the lay person would know anything about him or be able to identify his teachings. Potentially his photos. His photos used to be fairly, actually, not mainstream, but well-known, I think. And it's also the I want to believe photo for X-Files. Potentially, I put him fairly low, though, for that. I think there's other assholes on our list that have a much higher legacy than Billy Meier, and I think that's why he got so low on
that's
my
fair.
List.
And I do think the whole legacy thing just scored so high for me because of the cult aspect. So
yes.
He does have a very zealot following with some people. Not a huge group, but the ones who do follow him are kind of crazy.
And it's funny how I use legacy, because on this one, for instance, I'm using it as would the lay person know, but on other ones, I rank it differently for their legacy.
Yeah. So.
It's really, you know,
just like Bill Moore.
Shit into the wind.
Like, yeah, we even say, like, I don't know if people actually know his name, but man, is he impactful.
Yeah. He did have a pretty crazy story, though.
And we actually have a really hard time remembering Bill Meier's name, too.
Yeah, we do. But when you say it, I know exactly who he is.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Legacy, I could maybe bump him up a little bit more. But if I was to put him in my own ranking of legacy, I would score him higher, because he is higher on my asshole list. But if I'm thinking as a whole, I put him lower.
Fair enough. Copilot has him at 12th on their list at 40. Meier scores high in deception and legacy with his fabricated UFO photos and enduring contactee lore. His grift, that whole thing of the Patah talking through him is just, it's gold. I will always love if we ever do episodes where we go back to the Patah stuff.
Oh my god, his, like, what was it, like a 3-day journey where he was taking photos of, like, a literal fucking book? And passing them as photos from a fucking spaceship is just off the hook insane. Anyhow, I did give him a 10 in deception, if you wanted to know.
His grift is strong with books and followers. And that was that whole thing, too. Like, you could sign up to be, like, a person who, like, works for the church, but you had to pay for it. That was super weird.
Yeah, and he does, like, actually live off of, like, collections.
Donations and grifting, yeah. Yeah. His vibes are middling. He was more eccentric than toxic. He's held back by moderate harm since his hoaxes misled but didn't destroy lives.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that.
Okay, now I think you're going to have this next person higher, Chelsea. But at number 9, I have Prince Andrew, whose name we know. Andrew
Mountbatten. I don't know what the
Mountbatten. we know him as regular person Andy or British Andy from season 5, episode 100, and many fringy
so many minis
in between.
Originally from, like, so many minis, eventually one episode.
Yeah.
Because we had
with
to
likely many
the
more minis in the middle.
Yes. Where do I have him? I have him at... His total's 39, so he rests at about 10 on my list, actually, so he's a tad lower.
Prince Andrew, Duke of York, was once a prominent member of the British royal family with military and diplomatic roles. His most notable achievement was serving in the Royal Navy during the Falkland Wars and representing the monarchy internationally, also where he forgot how to sweat. His biggest asshole actions stem from his association with Jeffrey Epstein and allegations of sexual misconduct, where he exploited his position of privilege and connections while evading accountability. His legacy is now defined less by royal service and more by scandals, leaving him remembered as a symbol of abuse of power and disgrace within the monarchy.
See, the thing about regular person Andy is. Even if you take Epstein out of the equation, it's just the well-knowingness of this and how he lied. It wouldn't change the person that he was. Just due to the outrage of all of it, like, really brought it to the forefront. But yeah, he still would have been a shitty person without Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
And he's still that spoiled.
He's pretentious. Yeah.
Yeah,
he's got
exactly
that arrogance about him and, like, inept pretentiousness.
Absolutely.
Like, he doesn't seem to understand life itself.
Yeah.
I guess if that's everybody within the royal family, but you get those vibes from British Andy.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm sure there's a lot more people like that within the royal family and probably many more royal families. They're just probably not as inept as he is. And just the sheer, what would you even label it as? Cockiness of him to go and say he doesn't sweat. And just like,
I think it's ignorance. Like,
it is.
Just like, people aren't just going to believe you. You're going to sweat in this interview, you idiot.
Yes. And for him to just think, I'm going to say this and they're all just going to accept this, is just like, it's next level. It's
the plebs will listen to what mother tells them.
Yes, that's exactly it. So I just, he's a horrible person with or without like what has been going on. And after reading the biography written about him, it's just, he's a shitty person before he met Jeffrey Epstein. It was just the circumstance that brought it to light that he's cursing life. It doesn't mean that it wasn't always there.
And I am going to say, like, I had a hard time with one in particular category for him. This is the lowest number I gave anybody in the top 10 of any category. He got a 4 for grift. And it's because he was born into sheer wealth, and I just don't know how to categorize that with grift.
Okay, my categories kind of shift with who it is, and here's a good example as well as the one that we just talked about. Grift for me is in the words that he thinks that he's using that are going to fool everybody, and they don't.
It could also be the fact that, like, he had his mom wrapped around his finger, it seemed like.
Yes, and exactly, he shouldn't have, like, he's just been shuffled around because no one in the royal family wants to fucking deal with him, but here he is getting kicked out of his residence and he's like, I still want my fucking butler. Like,
that's going to exist without a butler.
Exactly.
I will be nude all times. Yes. That will embarrass the family.
So, to me, the grift is still high. It just needs to be looked a little bit different, which
is
why,
and that was the whole thing. Like, it's hard to categorize that with everybody else who's making money off what they're doing, whereas he's like, he's exploiting his position of power, so there's not inherently a grift.
Exactly. Well, to me, it's a grift. But I know you're a little bit more rigid on your categories.
Yeah.
Mine have a flow. But he got the lowest on mine in deception and fabrication of all things, because I think he, like, the only one he's fooling is his fucking self. He's not fooling anybody else. So I think he's fairly, like, not deceptive in fabricating.
And
other
I did give him a 6 in deception and fabrication, so it's not like he excelled in that.
Yeah.
But he got a 10 in vibes and he got a 10 in harm.
Oh,
and a 9
he got
in
a
legacy.
Because
he has absolutely destroyed the British royal family.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But not completely for some weird reason. I think he could do better in absolutely bringing them down. And they know it. They know it.
Yeah. Copilot has British Andy at 15th on their list with a 40. Oh, and sorry, Chelsea, what did you score him? I can't remember if you said.
39.
Okay.
No, hold on. Is that the right guy? Yeah, it's the right guy, 39.
Okay, and British Andy with Copilot is a solid 40 at 15th with an 89977.
I didn't hear any 67s.
Nope. We don't do those around here. Do we? Nope. Don't have any of those. Okay, Chelsea, I'm very curious where you have this next one on my list.
Okay.
This is at
this
number 8. And yeah, this is my first 40, so this is like high level assholes right now.
Okay.
This one's a little more of an extreme. Good News International Church from season 3, episode 64.
They're actually at I'm reevaluating my entire life choices right now for putting them here. They're 15th on my list, and I do not think they should be that low. This is the Africa one, right?
Yeah, this is the Kenyan.
Oh, I should read it. This Kenyan doomsday cult, led by Paul McKenzie, ordered followers to starve themselves to meet Jesus. Its achievement was briefly gaining a devoted following. Its asshole actions are catastrophic. Fabricated prophecy, mass exploitation, and direct harm leading to hundreds of deaths, cementing it as one of the most tragic cult cases in history.
Yeah, and like at the time of that episode that we did, it was the second largest mass suicide on record, behind only the, Jim Jones, what's the name of his group?
Heaven's Gate, right?
Heaven's Gate, yeah. No, not Heaven's Gate. That one was the comet. Anyhow, it's the second largest mass suicide by a group in history.
Jonestown,
yeah. And it happened, like, without many people ever hearing.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
About it.
Okay.
So
I need to redeem myself right now. Where this downfall was getting it on my list here is legacy. I gave it low legacy because who's ever heard of
fair
this?
Nobody remembers,
unfortunately.
It
everything yeah. else is high.
Yeah, and I gave it an 8 for deception and fabrication. It probably could have been a little higher. 6 for vibes. I don't know why I find cults hard to give vibes to. 10 for harm. Like, it, you can't say anything below that, and frankly it's kind of a little, I have a few other 10s in harm, and it's hard to say they're all at equal with this. If I had to say, like, a level of 10,
you know,
this is
what?
The highest 10. Like, it's hundreds
now
of people
that you're
that
saying
die.
That, I feel like all other categories can't have harm at a 10.
Yeah, I know.
And I didn't
a
actually...
A 9 for grift, because that guy made a ton of money off it, and I gave a 7 for legacy, just because it is, like, second biggest mass suicide ever.
It is. And see, here's the thing where we're differing again is I'm thinking out
nobody
in the real world.
The name.
Nobody
yeah.
knows about it. And that's the sad thing about something like this. Especially it's Africa. So here
yeah,
in
it's
North America.
Anything going on in Africa. There's like genocides going on in Sudan right now.
Yeah, this one was super sad. Yeah, I think this needs to be actually higher towards the top. Definitely, now that I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
But I do stand by the legacy, unfortunately, because I don't think anybody knows about it.
Yeah.
So sadly, while I think it does deserve to be closer to the top, it doesn't because of that.
Well, and yeah, it's like, legacy is a weird thing when we're talking about fringe things, and like, what kind of legacy are we talking about with this?
That's
the only
true.
Thing it can be is, will this be remembered? And I do think it'll be remembered just because it's on a top 10 list.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's true. I think we actually could use it. I'm going to make a note here. I think we could use an update on that one because it probably...
Yeah, that's a fair point. It's probably a lot more settled at this point.
Yeah, that is one that I didn't need to listen to because I remember it pretty
well. And
he was driving like super nice cars and stuff. And there.
Oh yeah, he was loaded.
Yeah.
And like all the money came from the church too.
Yeah.
And like such, like Good News International Church. Like, I maybe that's where the vibes didn't quite hit for me, because like when you just hear that, you're not going to say like, oh yeah, second
sounds
largest
like
mass suicide. Yeah.
Sounds like a cult. And there were like mass graves, weren't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I believe they were finding people too who like were buried alive too. I would have to go back listen to that. Yeah. And Good News International Church for co-pilot came in 4th overall with a 44. Only 1 point behind who came in first.
Interesting.
9 for deception and fabrication, okay. 10 for vibes, 10 for harm, 8 for grift, 7 for legacy.
Okay. I mean, that seems fitting for where it is on the list.
Yeah.
It just didn't hit there with the numbers for me.
Okay, next up on the list is the Fox Sisters.
This is the one!
Number 7. Okay.
Why do you have them in the top 10? Let's talk about who they are, yeah. I think.
The Fox Sisters are credited with sparking the spiritualist movement of the 19th century through their spirit-wrapping seances. Their achievement was cultural. They helped launch a global fascination with mediumship and communication with the dead. Their asshole moves were admitting later in life that the wraps were a hoax, revealing that they had exploited grief and curiosity for fame and profit. Despite this, their legacy endures as the foundation of modern spiritualism. And I think that's why at the end they ended up so high for me, and it's just I didn't know where to dock marks for them. They are consistently high. And sorry, Fox Sisters season 3 episode 24.
I have them at their totals 33 in points for me.
Okay. And we're not that far apart. I got them at a 40.
Okay. Now, they're definitely not in my top 10. They're at 20. To me, someone like HPB should be ranked much higher on the asshole list. And while they're not essentially the same, I would consider them the same category with like the spiritualist movement because
I agree with you
on the forefront of that. And I feel like she was much more of an asshole, though they were at the forefront of the movement as well, even more than HPB. So that does stand for something. I just find that her deception and fabrication runs, while they're both at a 10, I find her deception and fabrication runs much, much, much deeper than theirs.
Okay, and I have HPB and the Fox Sisters at a 9 for deception and fabrication.
I have them both at a 10.
Okay. I actually, they're tied a lot of the way. They both got 7s for harm. They both got 8s for grift. And HPB got an 8 for legacy, whereas the Fox Sisters got a 9. It's really just harm I gave them a higher score for.
What? Why?
And
I'm interested.
That's a great question. I think they had more direct harm on people, like giving them hope for their loved ones coming back. And they are so fundamental to the seance movement and this entire thing coming about that I think they did a little more harm. And I also didn't know how. I actually probably upgraded their marks because they later in life sold their grift as like, oh, that entire old life was a grift. We're going to make money off of telling everybody about it.
Yeah.
So I think at the end of the day, I just told you my scores. I don't think you disagreed with anything I said there.
No, I don't really disagree, no.
And they started the seance movement. Like, it's got to be up there, like, significantly for the legacy.
No, you're right. And again, it's my thought in my head is who HPB, I just feel like her legacy is so much more grandiose because you see it in literally everything. Whereas the Fox Sisters, like, yeah, seance and stuff.
It is
like
a contained
that.
Grift, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
it was much, but you still wouldn't have.
People still do seances, too.
And you still wouldn't have that very popular moment in, like, occult history without the Fox Sisters. So maybe they do deserve to be higher, but that's why I was shocked, because I was like, HPB should be so much higher than the Fox Sisters, but they are total
and
assholes.
It is more intentional. I will agree with that.
Yeah, they are total assholes, though, so I do agree with that. So at this point, we're splitting hairs on how big of an asshole we think each of them are. But yes, they are total assholes, because they absolutely lied, said they were lying, then tried to profit off their lie, and started.
Yeah, it's like a second level grift. It's super like like next level. Like,
oh,
I grifted
they're assholes,
and then
absolutely.
I grift off of the fact that I'm telling people about the grift.
Yeah. But yeah, this is the one that I was saying when we started. I was curious why this one hasn't come up yet and they're in the top 10. And it's solely on the fact that they're ranking over HPB.
Yeah, okay.
And just for reference, I have them 20 on my list, and I have, I swear to God, if I go over this and HPB is higher than them, Yeah, I have HPB at 13 and the Fox sisters are at 20.
Okay. Now, Copilot has them at 18th with a 39 overall. Legacy and Deception and Fabrication both being 9s, and they're sandwiching 7s all the way through the middle.
Okay.
So, kind of splitting hairs between us there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm very curious where you have this. Yeah. Al, very curious where you have this next person, Chelsea. At number 6, I have David Politis from season 4, episodes 34 and 36.
Who is
also,
he, 6?
Where we got our most controversial comments from.
Yes. If we were to rank comments, that one would be number 1. We had some pretty pissed off... Well, it was one pissed off person.
One person who... Actually, it might have been 2.
Definitely probably a fan of David Politis. Looking for some missing 411 episodes. Politis is a former police officer turned author of the Missing 411 series, documenting mysterious disappearances in national parks. His achievement was creating a best-selling brand that brought attention to unsolved cases. His asshole factor lies in exploiting real tragedies by framing them as paranormal mysteries, monetizing grief through books, films, and conferences. Yeah. And also not wanting to deal with any criticism in the least part.
Or give any answers to anything.
Yeah. Except for like the new stuff where he says it was a UFO. I have him ranked at number 4 on my list.
Okay. I have him overall at a 41. His highest mark I gave was a 10 in vibes. I never used to think this, but now whenever I hear him, I get the worst vibes from him. And especially hearing his story about his police career and how he did a bunch of sketchy things, but was forced out by coercing celebrities into signing autographs for him.
Like the stupidest thing ever, too.
Yeah, but like there's that whole thing where he was acting as a John and he was super good at getting prostitutes arrested. It was, oh man. If you haven't heard those episodes, go listen to those. They're wild.
Yeah. Yeah, we also have a lot of fun with it, so don't mind the laughter.
There will be laughter. I don't know if you know us or not.
Yeah, he's definitely a legendary asshole around these parts. Right from the beginning, like, this guy just didn't pick it up getting into the missing 411 stuff. He can't take criticism in the least bit about his work, presents skewed information about the cases that he does. The grift is high. The deception and fabrication is high, as you all know by now. The vibes are high. The harm is on the higher side because of the families that he's taking advantage of.
Yeah.
They're grieving families that he's taking advantage of. His legacy to me, I didn't put him that high, but I would actually put him higher up because it is a really, really popular subject. And I will admit myself that I like listening to them because who doesn't like a mystery, even if he is not doing proper
research? At the end of the
day,
he is a pretty good storyteller too.
Yeah.
Which is why he came on Coast to Coast so much. And why George Norrie loved having him on, because he didn't have to do anything.
Yeah, and George Norrie is the perfect interviewer for him because George Norrie does not fucking push at all.
And yeah, I think we actually almost fully agree because my lowest mark for him is legacy. The reason I gave him a low legacy, which is a 7, so it's still not bad, is because this entire 411 community is entirely reliant on David Politis. If he were to disappear, it would die away fairly quickly.
Yeah, but I do think that it's super popular. So I don't know that it would die away. I think, though, it takes a certain... You know what's missing from this asshole list? Charisma. It takes a certain charisma to get to a point to be able to tell the story to bring people in. So maybe it would die with them if it's not someone that can make
a story.
Yeah, no,
it's somebody he hasn't, like, it's an awkward word to use here, but he hasn't groomed somebody to take it over and he hasn't built up anybody else to, like, come into the 411 community. He can't do a missing 411 con. Which, I mean, like, rent out an event center and have, like, presenters.
Nobody else would be speaking there. Yeah.
No, David Wilcock would be outside it, but he wouldn't be invited.
Yeah. And the other tie with the asshole, like, he has ties to other assholes, which is Dr. Melville Ketchum, which he gets behind. Yeah. And that's another strange part of him. Like, he does this missing 411, but then he's also a Bigfoot guy.
Yeah, and that's what I referenced in the last episode. This is my highest Bigfoot guy.
Oh, that makes sense.
I don't know if we technically call him that, but yeah. I mean, because he tried to tie everything to Bigfoot and the Melba connection, I have him as my highest Bigfoot guy, but I also can see why you wouldn't consider him. His claim to fame is not Bigfoot.
Yeah. And I also just want to put right here, season 4, episode 34 and 36.
Yes.
Fox Sisters, season 3, episode 24.
We can just delete that if we did it. But if not, thank you for doing that. I don't think Copilot had him very high. No, they didn't have him high at all. They have him 24th on their list with a 36.
Interesting.
A 76788. And let's see.
67.
Hey, there it is. That's there is
coincidence.
One.
That, no coincidence here. Maybe that's why they scored him so low. Because 67.
So, Paulides scores high in Grift? I think so. Paulides scores high in Grift and Legacy with his missing 411 brand. His deception is moderate. He implies mystery rather than fabricating outright. See, I think that is worse for deception.
Yeah.
His vibes are middling, seen as opportunistic, but not universally disliked. He's held back because his harm is indirect, exploiting grief, but not causing cult-level damage. Mm. And that is true. He hasn't formed a cult either. That. Also, and just another aside with him, he doesn't sell his books on Amazon, and they're just ridiculously expensive to get, however it is that he was selling them.
It's true, but they're, like, even more ridiculously high through Amazon, so I'm not sure why he doesn't just fucking sell them on Amazon.
I know.
To, like, take care of that, because he said it on every fucking thing, and don't buy them through Amazon.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing, like, he has to explain it in the interview, so there you gotta go, and you can't use Amazon.
Just fucking sell them on Amazon. Everything is on Amazon these days.
Okay, Chelsea.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
See, at number 5 on my list, I have the Falun Gong. Season 4, episodes 6, 8, and 10. So the Falun Gong is a spiritual movement blending Qigong with apocalyptic teachings. Its achievement is building a global following and media presence. Its asshole factor lies in exploiting followers, spreading pseudoscience, and fostering cult-like loyalty that has caused family estrangement and health risks. And this is going to be a polarizing one, because depending on, like, where you're getting your information from is going to greatly change how you view this group. I put them at a 10 out of 10 for vibes. And sorry, I gave them a 42 overall. Where'd they fall for you, Chelsea?
30.
Which puts them?
14.
Okay.
Not too far off.
No, but
not top 10, though.
I know. And this, I think the big difference is they're a 10 out of 10 for grift. Like, the fact that they, when you hear the deceptive practices they use, for Shen Yung, experienced China before communism. The fact that they own the Epoch Times, the fact that so many people have been, like, have died because of the practices, and the whole deceptive story of why they had to leave China, and still, there is mystery with that, is incredibly interesting. I think I scored them after Good News International Church, because I gave them an 8 for harm, and it just, like, after you put a death cult at 10, it's hard to say Falun Gong is a 10.
Yeah, that's true, though. That's very true.
So they got an 8. They got a 10 for vibes. They give me really creepy vibes, especially with Shen Yun.
Yeah, it's the genuine that does it for me.
8 out of 10 for deception and fabrication, and 6 out of 10 for legacy.
Yeah, I did the same. I don't know where we're differing.
I got 8, 10, 8, 10, 6.
I have them at deception a little bit lower. I have them at a 6. Don't know why, though. I can't tell you the reasoning behind
and
that.
I think the reason I put their legacy at a 6, despite the fact that they own so much, it is still reliant on one person. And if the cult leader dies, I don't know if it would last.
Yeah. I have the same for legacy, so I think it's my deception and fabrication that I scored a little lower on. But that's another one where I think about it, I'm not sure why I marked them so low on that, because it's not like they're like incredibly honest about some things.
Yeah, and Copilot gave them a 41 overall and put them at 10th on their list, with 8s across the board except in Harm, where they got a 9. And yeah, they definitely harm a lot of people, and they have compounds where they're training their dancers, but there's not a lot of evidence that they've directly killed anybody, but their medical practices are pretty harmful.
Yeah, and they hide a lot of stuff, so
yeah.
Who knows?
And yeah, we just don't quite, I don't think we'll ever fully know what damage they've done. And the fact that they're involved with basically Trump at the highest of levels is very disturbing.
Wait, how?
You'd have to go back and listen, but like, he's done speeches at a ton of their events.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me if they're funding him. Okay, I'm going to go back to season 4, episode 6, 8, and 10. Why not 7 and 9?
Those are the Fringy Minis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense when you say it that way.
And sorry, I'll just take a quick look to see if it gave me a reason for why it put Falun Gong where it did. No, it looks like they didn't. That's okay, though. We'll just move on to the next one. Okay, Chelsea, at number 4, and I don't think these guys are going to be where they are for you.
No.
I have the Moonies from season 3, episode 11.
See, and the Moonies, I can't remember them at all. Let me read the Moonies. Founded by Sun Myung Moon, the church became one of the largest cult movements of the 20th century. Its achievement was global expansion and political influence. Its asshole actions are industrial scale, coercive labor, financial exploitation, arranged marriages, and lifelong harm to members, making it one of the worst offenders. Now, I do not remember the Moonies. I tried to get through the Japan episodes in our little break. I just did not have enough time. Japan episodes are really in-depth
dense
episodes. Yeah. Lots of information in them. What I listened to, the Moonies didn't come up, at least not explicitly, to the fact that I knew there are the Moonies. So to this day, I'm still confused about the Moonies, who they are and what they do. Even though we talk about them a lot and make reference to them, I'm very confused.
So they make a lot of money by recruiting people to the church and getting them to sign over their estate once they die. They also marry people off in mass marriages that are super weird, but they have huge grifts. And they
sound familiar.
I gave them a 9 out of 10 just because I think the Falun Gong ends up, they have more grift going on currently, because the Unification Church is slowly getting destroyed, at least in Japan, because of the real reason we did those episodes on them. Somebody assassinated Shinzo Abe, the previous prime minister of Japan, due to Shinzo Abe's ties to the Moonies and how they were funding his government for a long time. The assassin's mother was recruited and exploited by the Moonies and took every penny of their family's money. And he's like, I'm going to do something about it. He made a shotgun at home and he shot the former prime minister of Japan.
See, and that does sound vaguely familiar now. And I didn't get to that point in the Japan episodes because there's just so much Japan in those episodes. Yeah. Total assholes. And how are they ranking for you? 4? 5? Top 5.
They're fourth. So top 5, yeah.
Fourth.
And
so
I gave them
see it.
The 8, 8, 8, 9, 9. Yeah. And I do, like, this is the thing about taking an average, and they got the exact same score. It's just they didn't get any 10s, whereas, like, the legacy of the Falun Gong got a 6. But, like, the fact that your cult is associated with the death of a prime minister, you get high legacy for
that. Oh, that's true. You could see that. And, I mean, Falun Gong has a Shen Yun, but the Moonies took, like, over houses and...
Yeah. So, yeah.
whatnot.
Anyhow, I didn't go and re-listen to that one. That one was all based on memory. And I think we had a fairly recent... Oh, and they do also own a newspaper, too. That's the weird thing about cults that we cover. They end up getting newspapers. They own the Washington Times, not the Washington Post, which is owned by Jeff Bezos.
We did just do a mini with the
Moonies. Yeah, about how the heiress to the Moonies is best friends with, like, the First Lady of Japan.
Yeah.
Previous First Lady of Japan. And they're like, what? I just like to give my friend money. I'm not bribing her. And I do think, yes, the Moonies are number one on Copilot's list with a 45 overall. They got an 8, 9, 10, 9, 9. Yeah.
I am shocked at that one, actually. Do they have a reasoning?
No, they do not.
Okay. The one I wanted the most.
Yeah. One sec, I'll ask really quick. So, they gave 8 out of 10 for deception. The movement was built on fabricated theology, claims of Moon's divine status. Oh yeah, and that's that super interesting thing. Like, he was in concentration camps in Korea, and like, there's some really weird Jesus vibes from this group, from what I remember. They have promises of salvation through mass marriages. The deception is systemic. Followers were told they were part of a world-saving mission while the leadership manipulated doctrine for control. Vibes, 9 out of 10. Inside the community, vibes were toxic. Members were pressured into obedience. Marriages were arranged without consent, and dissenters were ostracized. Moon himself was seen as authoritarian, and group's reputation in broader society was deeply negative. Harm, 10 out of 10. Harm is extreme. Families torn apart, financial ruin from donations, psychological damage from indoctrination and exploitation of vulnerable recruits. Grift, 9 out of 10. Church aggressively monetized faith, extracting money through tithes, businesses, and political influence. And Legacy, 9. The Unification Church remains infamous decades later, with its influence still left in politics, business, and fringe religious movements. Its legacy is enduring both as a cautionary tale of a cult exploiting and as a continuing organization.
Okay, fair enough. I'll accept it.
It seems to remember it more than us.
Yeah, that's why I'm just going to accept that.
Okay, at number 3 on this list, I have The Warrens. Season 1, episode 23, and many references thrown out throughout our time with them.
Yes, I have them in the top 10. I have them at 9, but how they came to be at 9, I'm not exactly sure. Well, so, I have them lower on Harm. Oh, let's read about them.
Okay. Ed and Lorraine Warren became famous as paranormal investigators, inspiring the Conjuring films. Their achievement was building a brand around haunting and demonology, cementing themselves in pop culture. Their asshole factors lie in fabricating evidence, exploiting families' tragedies, and monetizing fear through books, lectures, and their occult museum. There was nowhere really to take away marks for them. I gave them 9 out of 10 for deception, 9 out of 10 for vibes, 7 out of 10 for harm, 9 out of 10 for grift, 10 out of 10 for legacy. Because, like, their name is money-making in Hollywood.
Yes.
So they got a 45 over. Sorry, and they got the deception, a 44 overall.
You know, I say 10 for everything, but the deception and fabrication is definitely a 10.
You would think that. I didn't give them a 10. I only gave three 10s in deception and fabrication overall, and they're not one of them. They got a 9, though.
Yeah, they're just... Oh, they're definitely top 10 material because they're just such big ass. Especially Ed. I think he was a bigger asshole than Lorraine. I think she just kind of followed along with him. But fuck,
and they just took everybody's money. They did. Yes. And like, anybody who is actually involved in these stories, they're left with like trauma from it and no money. Despite the fact that the Warrens are telling everybody that, yeah, they got their money, don't worry.
The grift was a 15 with them, and they would just show up where they weren't invited just to kind of get their name attached to shit. And I told this was, where are they from? The Warrens are season 1, episode 23, so they were there early on. They might have been one of the first assholes we did, actually. No, I don't think they were the first, but they were up there because they were season 1.
Yeah, it was right around the time that we were doing HPB. HPB was episode 16, so like a few months before that.
Yeah.
I think we did the, who else? Aleister Crowley came before that. And did we get to Edgar Casey before? No, we didn't.
No, because Edgar Casey came with Wilcox.
Season 2, yeah.
And the Warrens, I mean, the grift is high. The asshole vibes are high. The harm I don't have as high, but they are definitely exploiting people for stories and not paying them. And,
well, and then, like, they inserted themselves in that self-defense lawsuit that we covered at Halloween this year, where they just put themselves in there like, yep, yeah, demons did it. You should just run off that. Get that defense going so we can write a novel on it.
Legacy high. I just remember from them, Ed, like, going up to people and being like, your house is haunted. I'm going to draw it, and trying to sell people the drawing of the house. Yeah.
And, like, they just randomly show up, like, the haunted doll, these different haunted houses.
All made
possessions.
Up.
Possessions. They show up everywhere with completely just, like, we'll make this story up so everybody can make money off, but it's really just us. Copilot has put the Warrens at number 14 overall with a 40, and straight eights right across.
What overall?
That is 14th overall with a 40.
Okay. I think they're definitely top 10 material, Copilot.
Oh, yeah. The legacy is just so much with them.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Legacy and grift. Like, there's not many people beating them in either of those categories.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, though, I do think the Warrens have a bigger name outside of fringe communities due to Hollywood.
Yes, absolutely. They're probably, of our list, the most recognizable. I would go
outside of Prince Andrew
to say yes, he's probably the most recognizable, actually, but outside of that, they're probably the most. I'm thinking
yeah I'm looking at the list really quick here. Maybe Tom DeLonge, but even then you have to be a very specific age group to think that.
Yeah,
top three, okay, at least. Now for number 2 with an overall score of 45, I think we might have a bit of a fight on this one. Richard Doty.
I think we might.
Season 2, episodes 17 and 18.
You know what? I can't, seeing who now is your number one, I can't argue. He's my number one.
If we can
one,
even, like, believe any of this.
Yes. Doty's notoriety comes from his role as an Air Force intelligence officer involved in UFO disinformation campaigns. His most notable achievement, if it can be called that, was shaping the Paul Benowitz case, which became a cornerstone of UFO conspiracy lore. His asshole action was deliberately feeding false information to Benowitz, driving him into paranoia and psychological collapse. Doty's manipulation caused immense harm and left a lasting scar on UFO communities.
And I will say, Doty got the most tens of anybody on my list.
He's all tens for me.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first stepfather, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
I couldn't bring myself to do anything other than all 10s for Richard Doty because I knew he had to be number one. And I just have to squeeze in here real quick because these are episodes that go down in Journey to the Fringe History Season 2, Episode 17, 18.
Yes, and that isn't even taking into account the fact that he very likely wrote the Serpo papers.
That's the general consensus. He also comes up in Skinny Bob.
Yeah. And just like,
come up in a lot more episodes.
If you're just going to put on a random UFO documentary, there's a pretty good shot he's in it.
It's true. As not as like on him, like Richard Doty as a UFO
as an
professional.
Expert.
As an expert. Weighing in on things. Telling you whether or not you
to
should
be taken seriously.
How the fuck did he get there? I don't know. Obviously, like, no holds barred. He's 10s all over the bar for me. He's a 15 out of 10 on vibes for asshole. I mean, he probably shouldn't be ranked as high for Herm, but I couldn't not give him a 10 for everything.
See, I gave him a 9 out of 10 for vibes, and I will tell you it is for two factors. He is the most unassuming man. Like,
it's
when
true.
He's just sitting there, it's he true. Looks like he's sitting there waiting for a bus. Like, wants to just tell a story to everybody around him.
Absolutely.
And two, I couldn't give him 10 for vibes because so many people work with him and are willing to have him as an expert.
But why does that dock him vibes? And to me, it's the history that I know that just makes his face so punchable to me.
Yeah. And then I had to give him a 6 for grift because I don't think he's making that much money off it. Most of the stuff he's done, he did it for free.
Now.
No, he's got a pension. He worked for the government.
Oh, that's true. He's bringing in... This is a side hustle.
And it's not like he's wearing swag when he's in these. He's dressed like an old man.
Can you imagine if he had, like, grills and shit?
he has so much money.
I don't know. To me, he had to be number one, hence all the
But,
chance.
Like, he doesn't write books. He doesn't do his own lectures. He only does interviews, it seems like, when he's asked to do it. So I couldn't say he's a heavy grifter compared to what I end up with at number one.
It's true, though, because he's a guy, he strikes me now as just someone that shows up when he's asked to.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what the military did. They're like, you got to do this. And he was like, okay.
And now they're like, he likes to write stuff, like, for free. He released the Serpo papers.
We need an expert. And he's like,
okay.
I'll be there. You can count on me. Maybe
retirement
he's just a
is
reliable
so boring.
Guy. Yeah. I hate him. I hate that guy.
But
he's
yeah,
he's the number one asshole.
Co-pilot Paz Doty, and like I said, the episode he's in many more than just that. Like, he is all over. They have him at number 8 with a 99968, 6 being his lowest in grift.
Okay, so they have him top 10, and I can live with that.
Yeah. Okay, so Doty for co-pilot scored extremely high on deception and harm because he knowingly fed disinformation to Paul Benowitz, contributing to Benowitz's psychological collapse and seeding toxic myths in UFO lore. His vibes are near the bottom. He's widely perceived as manipulative, duplicitous, and willing to throw allies under the bus to advance an agenda. He's held back slightly by only moderate grift, but his legacy remains strong as a cautionary tale of institutional deceit.
I think they're right on par with that. Something I would add to it is he went to very, very great lengths to deceive.
Oh, yeah.
Paul
Nobody
Benowitz.
Came anywhere near that level of lengths.
Yeah.
Like, he set up fake ventilation in the middle of nowhere to make
to
it look like
it
there's
an
underground base.
And
he was drugging
him. Underground bases came from. Yes. I can't remember exactly where that came in, but Benowitz was definitely being drugged. And between him and Bill Moore, who knows?
And John Lear.
Oh, man. So crazy. I agree with them on grift. I agree with you on grift, but I'm not bringing them down. Yeah, there's another point I had to make, but I can't remember.
That's okay. And it might come up because who I put at number one has used Richard Doty in the past for documentary purposes.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Because they said that he's so widely renowned as being, like, discredited because of this. Yet everyone's using him for his source.
Yeah.
Okay, continue.
So at number one, the biggest asshole we have ever covered is Richard Greer. Season 4, episodes 99 and 101. Dr. Stephen Greer,
yes.
Yes,
you said Richard Greer.
Oh, did I? Geez. Okay, Dr. Stephen Greer. Season 4, episode 99 and 101. Sorry, I have Richard Doty still highlighted for some reason on my page.
I know, that's where you came up with it.
Yeah.
Okay, I can't argue with it. I can see they're tight. I have him at number 3.
Okay, so, sorry, who's your 2?
Bill Moore.
Bill Moore, right. Okay.
But you know what? I'm looking at this, and I think my top 10 could use some tweaking.
And, yeah, I don't know. Maybe we revisit our top 10 in the future and see if the scoring changes. But I think I'm happy with it. But let's go through Richard. Or, geez, yes. Let's go through Dr. Stephen Greer, which you need to emphasize the doctor, despite the fact it has nothing to do with what he's actually doing.
Oh, everybody does. Yeah. As a matter of fact, Wilcock has been plugging him the last little bit and referring to his work, and the doctor is definitely emphasized every time that Wilcock is talking about him.
And I just could not put him at the same level of deception and fabrication as Doty. Doty went to such lengths to deceive, whereas Dr. Greer is a little more lazy with his deception. Like, whenever you hear him talk, if you just kind of think about it for a little while, like, give it 5 minutes, sit on it, you'll see it's full of shit.
Yeah.
Like, oh man. So he got a 9 out of 10. He has the creepiest vibes in my mind.
So creepy.
10 out of 10. Like, the creepiest. 10 out of 10 vibes.
Oh yeah, 10 out of 10. 100%.
I gave him a 9 out of 10 for harm. A lot of the stuff that he's been putting out there, I think, is doing harm to the UFO community. He lies a ton so that you can never actually tell what's going on. And he puts himself front and center in everything. And he will throw people under the bus if they don't agree with him.
Not to mention that if he thinks that you offer, like, the slightest bit of anything to him...
He brought Edgar Mitchell into this whole thing.
Yeah, but like anyone, if he even saw you at a dinner party and you offer him anything at all, he will start using your name.
Yeah, where you have to address it in a letter. Where you say you have mistaken agreement for my politeness.
And he's season 4, episode 99-101. He wasn't covered that long ago. And then we did cover him again in that UFO disclosure episode, which I don't know off the top of my head.
And I do think there will be at some time in the future a follow-up on Greer, because, like, he's prolific in his work. So Dr. Greer is best known for founding the Disclosure Project and popularizing CE5 protocols, which claim to allow humans to initiate contact with extraterrestrials. His most notable achievement is bringing UFO discourse into mainstream media and government hearings, positioning himself as a central figure in disclosure. His biggest asshole move is monetizing these practices, charging steep fees for retreats and contact experiences that rely on unverifiable claims, effectively exploiting believers while presenting speculation as fact. Yeah, I don't think anybody alive in the UFO community today is a bigger grifter than Stephen Greer with his CE5 protocol events.
I don't know about that, but
he's charging tens of thousands of dollars per person to go to these, and they just pretend to see things in the sky. And apparently allegedly sometimes, they hire helpers to make things happen in the sky.
Yeah, that's true. But I think there's still some pretty, like, David Wilcock to me is a similar level of grifter.
Yes, but he doesn't have access to the same amount of monetization ability.
It's because of the doctor.
Yeah, it really is. But, like, and David Wilcock's in a position where he's sucking up to the doctor, where this doctor, Stephen Greer, is at the apex of all this. And the only thing, I gave his lowest marks an 8 in legacy for me. He just, I don't know if he's going to be necessarily remembered for anything or have moved anything in a particular direction where you can say
that's true.
His name's directly attached to it, or something he brought forward is going to be important in the UFO community.
True. I would 100% agree with that.
But he's incredibly deceptive with everything. He is everywhere, and he really likes to put his name along with disclosure, but funny enough, cannot get along with anybody else in the disclosure movement.
He's one of those personalities, though, where he's, like, so polarizing. Like, people actually, I think you either like him or you don't. And I think some people might just be going along with it because of, like, the doctor and the...
He's deceptive with it.
The clout that comes along with his name for whatever fucking reason. I don't know what it is. It's probably the doctor. It's important.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. There's a reason he hasn't dropped it, despite the fact that it has nothing to do with what he's doing.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, like, he always talks about how he's bringing this all forward and it's so important for the message, but everything is about him.
Oh, listening to him talk is just, like, it's insanity, honestly.
Yeah, so Copilot has him at not that high at all. He's 17th on their list at 39 with 87798. So like fairly high across the board, just not like standing out anywhere.
Yeah.
And Copilot did favor cults. Most of the top is cults, and weirdly enough, Corey Good.
That one was weird. We both ranked Corey Good fairly low. I want to give you my top 10, and I would redo it, but I'm just going to give you my actual list top 10, not what I would redo it as. Just as it stands. Richard Doty, number one. Bill Moore, number two. Stephen Greer, number three. David Politis, number four. John Lear, number five. Preston Nichols, number six. Montauk. Stan Romanuk came at number seven. Number eight, I have Rick Dyer. I have at nine, the Warrens, and regular person Andy at number 10.
Okay. And Copilot, at number one, they have the Moonies. At number two, they have Corey Good. At number three, they have Romana Dadula. At four, they have Good News International Church. At number five, they have Stan Romanek. At six, I keep looking because it's the numbers don't quite
line. I know, with the numbers on the left, I know.
Yeah. At number six, they have Aleister Crowley. At number seven, they have Pinkertons. At number eight, they have Richard Doty. At number nine, they have HPB. And number 10, finishing off their top 10, is the Falun Gong.
Interesting list.
Yeah, and that was a long, winding journey. And I am very curious what you guys, the listeners, think of this.
Yeah, who do you guys have at number one?
Who do you have at number one? Who did were we way off on? And who did we miss?
Taylor really wants to know who we missed.
I really want to know. Because I know I missed a few people, but
he keeps asking.
I think I got everybody for the most part.
I know one that we're missing that I don't dislike him not being on here is John Keel, because we haven't actually covered John Keel.
John Keel's on here.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Oh. Did we not? Okay, damn.
But we didn't actually
cover... We did a few episodes on John Keel.
We didn't actually cover John Keel, though.
Okay. Right, we just covered the one or two books.
Yeah. So if you wanted to be technical, you could say John Keel, but we haven't actually covered him.
Copilot has him on their list. That's why it's been messed up. Okay.
Mm. Yeah, I don't disagree with not having him on there.
Okay. And as we talked about prior to the list, we took out the corporations just because we thought that would be really weird for the most part. Like, we couldn't include Chevron or that law firm in Panama or Boeing because it's just an inherently different kind of assholeness. Yeah.
And I think we could agree that corporations are just overall a number one on the asshole scale.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, you can't.
Anyhow. That's been a long going, so...
Yes. I think this would be maybe two episodes.
Yeah.
But here we are, end of January. Or February. Who knows? Who knows when it is now?
What even time is this?
Yes.
With that, I have been Taylor, here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.